You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee? What a welcome to our second week in Advent. Can you imagine such a greeting on a Christmas card? Merry Christmas, you brood of vipers. Yet this is the message that we hear from Advent today. Not to shop, not to decorate, not to sing carols. Our sole purpose today is what? To repent. We are halfway to Bethlehem. Can you believe it? But this morning we find ourselves in the wilderness of Judea with John the Baptist. We can call him pushy. We can call him rude, call him a fanatic. He doesn't care because he's a man with a mission. He is the prophet, John the Baptizer, upon whom the Spirit of the Lord has rested. And John is our unlikely guide for this part of our Advent journey. If we want to make it to Bethlehem, we have to listen to John. And John doesn't mince words. He tells it like it is. Repent, he says. Make your paths straight. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Repent, he says, you brood of vipers. The word would keep us busy. World would keep us busy trimming our trees, buying and wrapping presents, outdoing our neighbors with lights and decorations, humming the season's oldies and goodies. And from that warm and fuzzy cocoon, John the Baptizer calls us out to look and to sit with the basics of Advent. And his task is to bring us to Jesus. So John wants us to get honest with ourselves, get right with God, repent, and find peace. Instead of making a list and checking it twice, John today invites us to think twice over our own hearts. Are we living self-centered lives, or are we truly living other-centered lives as Jesus did? Is Jesus at the heart of our being? Are we loving and giving sacrificially? Or are we avoiding the needs of others? All these questions take times to sift through, and Advent is the time to take the space that we need to be undistracted by a holiday busyness, to examine ourselves, to see where we may fall short, and turn our lives around and be oriented back to Jesus. This is the way of peace. To repent, we need to lean into that biblical understanding of peace. Peace is an active, engaging experience, not some abstract concept. Achieving peace requires effort on our part. Who here hasn't tried to sit down quietly to calm down, only to find themselves plagued by some inner drama that has our mind going like a hamster wheel? We have to constantly choose and work for peace. The peace of God is different from the peace of the world, is it not? The peace of the world is unstable, usually based on bank accounts and accumulation of resources. Worldly peace is driven by seeking security, which is elusive and changes with the times. There's a fake peace out there that is held together by unequal power. There's a false interior peace out there that people seek through the overindulgence of pills or alcohol or even designer clothes or fancy cars, that whatever grabs our attention. That's worldly peace for you that comes and goes with the whims of the marketplace. Biblical peace from God is a different story. Biblical peace is that peace that passes all understanding, the Bible tells us, rooted in an eternal God who loves and seeks the best for us in creation. Peace is the state of the world before sin entered the picture, and is the state of the world with Jesus at the center of the picture. Because biblical peace redeems, saves, and finds us in our brokenness and restores life to us in God. Peace comes from that decision to repent, to turn our lives around, to turn our hearts back to God, and help our world turn around back to the primary focus of life in God through Christ. Biblical peace is not something we can do on our own and create on our own. It's a fruit of the Spirit, we are told. God is the source of all peace. And remember how one of God's names in the Old Testament is Yahweh Shalom, which means Lord is peace. Jesus is called what? The Prince of Peace, yes? And calls us to be what? Peacemakers. And peacemakers are active. We forgive. We reconcile. We act as repairers of the breach. Peace is our spiritual birthright, and Advent calls us to reclaim that. Isaiah today gives us one of the most classic, unbelievable visions of peace. Isaiah lived in a time of war and politics and injustice. The world was as messy and broken then as it is today. So he shared this dream, this vision of the wolf lying with the lamb, the leopard with lying down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, and their young shall lie down together. And the nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. What a remarkable image that is of peace, that we have peace in the face of predatory animals. Like last week when Isaiah spoke of turning swords into plowshares, Isaiah is using these intense imagery for us to say that peace rewrites the law of nature. It breaks and it heals broken systems. It takes enemies who are designed to destroy each other and make them neighbors. When this king, this branch from Jesse shows up, the world stops operating on the rules of fear and aggression and power, and instead operates on the rules of justice and righteousness. Isaiah is saying that peace from God is when the powerful stop exploiting the vulnerable, and the spirit of understanding and wisdom replace conflict. It's like saying Hamas and Israel are going to live together for once. Russia and Ukraine will be bosom buddies. The Taliban will be popping in for tea. Sounds almost completely impossible, doesn't it? Absurd. But that's the kind of peace that God can bring us. And the truth is, if we are honest with ourselves, we have not been such a peaceful people. Our hearts are just pulled in so many directions. We live in a culture that doesn't really know peace because we're polarized more than ever. We live in broken times with conflicts in ourselves, conflicts with other nations, and adverse policies for the homeless and the poor, the stranger and the alien. Problems that ferment through all our faith communities. We have deep conflicts even in our own hearts. We want to do good, but yet we fail. So how do we begin to create peace? We begin with the basics. Let's think of that, some things together in our hearts. What makes for peace? What makes you feel peaceful? An apology to someone we have hurt, and to mend a relationship, yes? To end a quarrel or a resentment, to forgive someone who has hurt us, to give an encouraging word, to dismiss suspicion and replace it with trust, to manifest loyalty in word and deed, to keep a promise, to forego a grudge, to think of someone else first, being kind and gentle and laughing and expressing gratitude, and to welcome the stranger and the sick. Advent calls us to these acts of peace that we can do both individually and collectively as a community in reaching out into our world. So today, let us seek the peace, because peace is the signpost the kingdom of God is near. And Bethlehem is closer than we think. Amen.